Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11%, a weekly podcast that explores roles and opportunities within the creative industries, with the aim of contributing to increasing diversity across the board, in addition to promoting some awesome women. For episode 42, we're in Prague, joined by Marina Mullany, Theatre Development Officer for the Cyprus Theatre Organisation, also referred to as THOC. Marina, leaving her native Cyprus, did a BA in Fine Arts, Sociology and Drama at the University of Texas in the United States. On returning home, she began acting for the State Theatre, in films and in TV series, whilst also working for the Cyprus Broadcasting Corporation as a producer and TV and radio presenter for over a period of 10 years. During this time, she also completed a master's degree through the Open University in Communication and Journalism. In 2001, she joined the Cyprus Theatre Organisation, part-funded by the Cypriot government under the supervision of the Minister of Education and Culture. Its aims are to promote the dramatic arts, cultivate theatrical culture, and advocate for Cypriot artists and creators of theatre to the larger world. Within her role, she is responsible for developing projects both on home turf and abroad, and we are currently attending her most recent project with artists Elena Kotasvili and Alexei Vianos, titled Status Quo, which Marina curated for the Prague Quadrennial, also known as PQ, which is held every 4 years to promote the best of design for performance scenography. She also hosts a popular weekly TV show titled Arts Cafe, discussing arts and culture with national and international artists exploring their work and practices. Marina, welcome to Greater Than 11%.
It's great to be here.
So can we jump straight in, and can you tell me what it is a theatre development officer does?
This post was created so that we would have a department, or the government would have a department dealing with anything that would develop theatre arts. So it would be the theatre subsidies to independent theatres. It would be non-professional theatre, a festival, a great festival we're hosting, theatre in schools, and the festival for school plays that we're hosting. We started a great program that's continuing on with another group of people, but that we're very proud of. And in general, anything that would advance theatre, that would include things like the PQ national participation and the other projects we're in, European programmes, etc.
How did you arrive at that point? Because the role is fascinating.
It is fascinating because it's always changing. There's never a dull moment. The post was intended for a person in theatre arts or an actor or someone dealing not so much with this kind of, let's say, coordinating and conceptual work behind things that would accommodate or facilitate, I should say, the work of artists. But as I went into this job in 2001, having worked as an actress for 6 years for the State Theatre, so I knew what we felt was needed, what the artists felt was needed. I thought that the post itself could be developed into something. So I started using what I had, the knowledge I had in TV and radio and public speaking and promoting things, to start building a new image, if you want, around theatre in Cyprus or around the State Theatre in Cyprus, trying to get people to understand that we're there to listen to their needs and then find ways to make them come to life. And so it was a little bit of the acting and a little bit of the sociology, and nothing ever goes to waste, does it?
No, definitely not.
So this post sort of grew with us. It's me and another colleague who's there assisting me, and it grew with us to do just that, to really start listening to what people wanted, to really start gathering information from abroad, because we're an island and it's a bit easy to be a closed circuit, and this interaction, putting that interaction to work so that people would get their needs fulfilled, and this way we would be developing the arts and the theatre arts.
And so before you came to this role, as I said, you went to Texas and you studied drama and the arts, and then you had a period of acting for both films, TV, theatre. Did you always want to be an actress?
You know, There's a thing. People in my family are all involved in the arts in one way or another. My father is a playwright. My mother was an actress. My sister is a director and an actress. My husband is a director. It's becoming worse because I have three kids studying. One is a dancer and the other two are in theater. Yes, it's always been so natural that I would do that. But not in the sense that I wanted to, you know, act and be famous, or I wasn't pursuing it in that way. I was pursuing it in the sense of the art of theatre being something that can make lives so much better.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the sociology degree, that's why I had the interest in that direction. When I studied theatre and sociology, actually people thought I was crazy because they thought, so what line of work are you going to go in? You know, and say they're going to be a sociologist or an actress. And to me, the combination of ideas and concepts and ways of acting in life
mm-hmm.
have always been fascinating. So it always made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I think the family virus got me.
Maybe it's just in your DNA rather than a virus. So with your previous, when I say previous career, but it's on the journey. So as an actress, you've obviously had experience within your current role, what it feels like to be maybe on the other side of the fence. So how does that feed what you do now? How does that help you tune your ear to supporting other artists, theatres, and also educating?
Well, imagine going into a government service to get something done or get a job done or get someone to listen and understand, and finding a colleague you worked with. I think it's great because we can speak the same language. We've worked together. We cried together. We laughed together, you know. And so when people come in my office, they feel comfortable to say, this and this is bad. This is good. We need that. Mm-hmm. Can you do something about it? And usually I try and do something about it. So I feel it's great that we were given this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times a lot of times politics will go the wrong way, still people will come in and have the freedom to talk about it and tell me and voice their opinions mm-hmm. rather than feel that, oh, these people in their offices don't ever listen and will mm-hmm. never do something about it. So I think it's great that this post was designed for a person who studied theater mm-hmm. and not an administrator, just mm-hmm. an administrator. Not that I have something with administrators, mm-hmm. but I think you need to have that insight
yeah.
to be able to work.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference to be able to advocate as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the function of the roles? Is there a typical day for you?
No, there isn't. What happens with THOG is that there's a bit of controversy there about this role because it's the state theatre
mm-hmm.
and it subsidises private theatres. So there's talk about of how can, you know, competitors, quote unquote, do that. I don't feel that way at all. So there's a lot of networking and discussions and trying to develop the right programmes for subsidies, which will listen to the needs of the people of the private theatres, but will also go along with all the rules and regulations of the government. A regular day, it could be anything from setting up an exhibition in Nicosia or in Prague
mm-hmm.
To sitting down and doing a lot of paperwork and a lot of long hours on the computer trying to develop things. But also, what I found was when I first went there, I found it very difficult to sit behind an office for 8 hours and just work at that. However, the communication I had with emails and with phone calls and with people all over the world was such a relief and such a great way to see it in a different way. So mm-hmm. the office became just something extending out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So a voice, I guess, extending out to the world and voices coming back in. So a typical day at the office would include a lot of communication through mails, phone calls, mm-hmm. etc. A lot of people coming in, artists coming from, because we host a lot of artists mm-hmm. too. And It would also probably include a lot of work with schools, because we do a lot of that and try to support schools, because theatre in schools is a huge subject, but there's not that many places in Cyprus professors or teachers can find help. So I think in that sense the office is a way for them to get through to solve issues, find answers to questions, etc. And also a typical day would probably include meetings that don't sound too exciting but are necessary.
So just I'm going to pick up something you said about the schools. So theatre being in the schools and then teachers or professors coming to you for help. Does the organisation also outreach? Does it go out into schools maybe where theatre isn't being promoted or put into the curriculum?
Of course. We've had, you know, I'm very proud to say that when I joined forces with THOC, it was in 2001, theatre in schools and theatre in teenagers or children was not that big of a deal in Cyprus. And so we started doing that. We started doing outreach programs and we started going out to schools and out to teachers and supporting the few teachers who were promoting it and strengthening all these procedures. And the festival that we have, the Pan Cyprian School Theatre Games, started becoming having a voice and being heard and being promoted. So that made parents realize that this is not just a pastime, this is not an excuse for the kids not to study, but this is something really substantial and it will give them social skills, it will make them fit in school better, it will make them better citizens for tomorrow. It started changing the way people were approaching this. So yes, back in 2001, if I compare that to today, we've come a long way, because now a lot of kids will go to have theater classes in the afternoon just because they feel this will develop their character and will develop their skills, even if they will not be actors or actresses. We have, for the size of Cyprus, we have about 64 schools, 65 participating in the school theater games. That's a huge amount of people being involved. And the same goes on, of course, for the non-professional theater. So yes, the outreach programs were one thing that we really tried very hard to do. And I think it is working.
Which is great, because I was thinking about that notion of teachers needing support and not being in place. But what you're doing is you're growing the next generation, so it becomes part of everyday schooling, which is wonderful.
Yes, that's what we tried. And also we tried to give the teachers the opportunity to educate themselves in regards to theatre. At the same time, we tried to find the time slots that were good for them, the areas we could organize things so that they could join forces. We work closely with the Ministry of Education and Culture, and that's a great help because people there are also trying to find ways to help the teachers, and that makes things grow.
It must be great to see that over time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course now I see new actors who come in, or new successful actors. Was it? They've always been. They've already had a chance to work and be successful, and they come up and they say, "Well, you know, I remember you came to our school." Yeah. Theater performance, and that's where I decided I wanted to do theater, and it's amazing to see kids do that.
Yeah.
Or lives transformed, because I do believe theater in school transforms kids' lives. We've had kids who were totally out of the system and were skipping classes and not wanting to be in school and not having a place in the school society, and acting in the school play help them find their place and their appreciation by others and their way to contribute positively to the school society, which is amazing. It just turns lives around.
Hugely rewarding as
yeah.
well. That's why the arts are so important within school. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've not had good news this year about the arts in schools in Cyprus, but we're hoping it will be turned around because actually the hours for arts were diminished. And I believe this is going to show up so badly in a future, the future societies. It's not the right thing to do.
Agreed. It's the same in the UK. Arts funding and within schools has been cut and cut and cut, and the long-term effects we will see.
Yes, we
Yeah.
will. We will definitely see. But then again, there's people who never give up
That's right.
and keep trying. So professionals themselves are realizing how important it is to plant the seed and help out. And this is great because when I first started working in Thok, it was difficult to find professionals to give time for these things because they thought they had to focus on their work and understandably. But now more and more professionals are very willing and very happy to support schools, support theater teaching skills in schools to help people realize how theater can be used as a tool to teach other things. And yes, that's catching up ground very, very quickly.
So I'm wondering if we can talk about the project that we've come to see in Prague, Status Quo, that you worked on with Elena Kotasvili and Alexei Vyanos. Could you tell us a little bit about it and the role of, you curating it and bringing it here?
Of course, it's a great thing that happened without me realizing. But when I started working Thok as a theatre development officer, I found out about our participation in Prague Quadrennial. And at the same time, another colleague was curating. And I thought, that's interesting. That's a great thing to do. It breaks barriers and it takes us to the heart of Europe. And I was very honored to be appointed curator in 2007 for the first time. And every year this has been renewed, and this has been a great experience for me in a great school. Even though I'm not a scenographer and I'm not a visual artist, I think there's a lot of need to have a conceptual artist or a dramaturg behind the whole creation of the project every 4 years. So I was appointed curator again this year, and I was trying to think how to go about it because we have been trying various ways of choosing the artist or choosing what will come, deciding. So this year, with Elena Kotasvili having received the award for the best young artist of the year. And having seen her work, I was mesmerized because she's quite amazing. And so I suggested to the board of directors that we go with Elena. And of course, Elena suggested that we have Alexis, her collaborator, with her. And we started talking about this exhibit and how it would be and whether it would go again with things they've done so far or whether it would go with others' work. What was amazing was that we started talking about it and we said, okay, well, this is read about PQ, listen about PQ, see what people did, and then we'll come back together and talk about perhaps an initial concept. I had already been here because of a European program that we're in with the PQ people. We're invited by PQ. And we had been discussing with Marketa van der Vaart, who's the director of PQ, the direction PQ should take, because it's a big, and I'm going into a parenthesis now, but I think it's essential. We had been talking about how PQ is a living organism, of course, and as all art has to take in what's going on around it in the world. And we'd been discussing with a lot of people about how and which direction should PQ take. What should the theme be like, because they were talking about developing the theme at the time, besides the great discussion about whether PQ should remain a place where we see models and costumes and theatre craftsmanship rather than installations or statements. That's an ongoing discussion, and it goes, I guess, along hand in hand with the great question of what is scenography today and what is considered and how it's changing. But anyway, closing that parenthesis, talking with Marketa about how PQ should be developed, I had put in the idea that I believe that the one concept that engulfs what goes on in many areas of our lives is the wave. Because we've been talking about the wave of the immigrants, the wave of immigration, the waves that killed immigrants in the Mediterranean Sea. We've been talking about the wave of the extreme political forces rising up in Europe and terrifying people. We've been talking about the environment and those waves. And so I think the wave has been the concept coming back again and again. And this wave takes all these forms. It can be a wonderful traveling wave, or it can be a drowning wave, or it can be an electric wave. It can be so many amazing things. And then Elena and Alexis come to that meeting and they say, you know, we're thinking of water. I hadn't told them what I was thinking. They came and we had this similar idea. One thing led to another. We decided that they would design this, and I didn't interfere very much. We discussed things and we would exchange opinions. But they are so great in working together that I didn't want to destroy any of that. And I think we've come to something that really makes a statement and really makes the person that goes in think about questions, think about where we stand. Because we should perhaps say for the people listening to us that it's a closed, dark room. And it's a boardroom, it's a table with chairs around it, and a wave, a real actual wave of water in the middle of the table. Now, the person entering the room enters in a cool space, but cannot reach the chairs or the table because there are these plexiglass walls on each side. So you're stuck there looking at a place of decision. Of decisions where these decisions create all sorts of waves that affect our lives or could make decisions and don't make them. There's no people in those chairs. So a lot of times it's us creating conceptually those people. And what's our stance? At the end of the day, you think, okay, you go in, you know that's happening, you know it's there. You stand there and watch it, and it should make people sort of really pose the question to themselves, and first of all, and then to all that's happening around them. I think Elena and Alexis were extremely good at not giving unnecessary details to things. It's very clear, very simple. And it just allows the visitor to do the work, I guess.
What I really loved about the piece when I saw it yesterday was that you can enter the room from two positions and that you're in darkness mostly until someone opens the door and a flash of light floods in until the door shuts. And it illuminates people on the other side of the table.
Yes.
And you get a sense of we're all getting little flashes of light at what's been, you know, like you said, decisions that have been made or aren't being made, and it's affecting other people, and we see that fleetingly because we feel it as well. I think it's very powerful.
Yes, yeah. And the sense that you have a sense of other people being there, but you're not sure.
Well, when the light is, you see them,
and suddenly the light comes on. Yeah. It's like, oh yes, they are.
They're there, and I'm here.
Yes,
and we're all looking in, hoping for change.
But yeah. Can you count on them?
Some, yes. But yes. You know.
Sometimes you have to start.
Mm.
Indeed. But what I really enjoyed about this work is the way that we could come here and really pose a question, and it has been heard, and it has made a statement in an equal way with all the huge countries and the great artists and the famous people. I think that's what I like about PQ, is that every country gets a voice, and so many people come to see this exhibition and be exposed to the ideas. And it's not just theater people. It's theater really making statements about our lives, our society, who we are, who we want to be, how we want to be.
Yeah. So your role is part curator, part outreach and working with education, and also then working with subsidies and helping theatres mm-hmm. within the state, but also private. So what would you say are the skills needed for your role?
This post needs someone to be there 100% of the time and do as many things as you can. So you do have to be patient, and you do have to know theatre, and you do have to be able to work in administrating and coordinating programs. There's also, unfortunately, a lot of financial stuff. Although we do have a great finance department and they deal with the logistical things, but because of the subsidies, there's that kind of work that needs to go into it, and how to plan, and also policy. Policy is a very important thing. You need to be able to see ahead on how the policy will be formed if you act on this subject in this manner now. We are governed by a board of directors, mm-hmm. and so a lot of times we have to be able to set forth propositions or proposals for them to be able to clearly see and make decisions on policy. And of course, there is the basic things, like you need to be able to have languages, and you need to be able to, I guess you need to be able to listen. It's the most important thing for me. It's I think it's the same thing I use as you do very well in my show on TV. You need to be able to listen, and you need to be able to see what the person gives you in order to further the conversation. Although you've studied so well and you know you're prepared, but this is just the grounds that you step on in order to go somewhere with the person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing that happens in the office.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the things you know, and you have the means an organization gives you, but you need to be able to listen and see where they want to go, and perhaps also try to help stirring the wheel.
Amazing. And maybe we could talk a little bit about your show, Arts Cafe. Do you want to talk a little
Arts
bit?
Arts Cafe is a great gift, actually. Yeah. To me, it's amazing. It's on the state TV, and it goes on every Saturday. It's for an hour. It's a talk show dealing with the arts and culture. And I've had the opportunity to talk to and meet so many people. We don't do an agenda. We don't present this that will be coming to Cyprus mm-hmm. or that will be playing. We every time have a topic that we discuss. And it's so great to give artists and creators the opportunity to talk about this mm-hmm. because nobody ever does. Mm-hmm. We never have a chance to talk about mm-hmm. these things. So how many times have you had 5 directors on TV talking about directing or talking about a specific topic in directing? In Cyprus, unfortunately, this type of TV time was not given ever. Mm-hmm. And now we're so fortunate that the state TV is really, really open about this and has allowed us to do it. So great discussions happening once a week, and I feel it's a gift for me.
Can I ask you, have you had any challenges in your career? And how did you overcome it or them?
Well, I'm in this post because of a challenge. So I was working as an actress. And I was working as an actress for 6 years for the State Theatre when I got pregnant and was fired.
No.
Yes, I was fired, I think, 2 days after the time expired when they were allowed to fire. So I had to make decisions and see how that would work. At that age, in my brain, it worked in a strange manner. I was like, I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. So I didn't go legally or mm-hmm. try to pursue that. And it brought me to a new world because I started working in on radio and TV, which was I worked on radio before actually. I started working on TV, which was an amazing new world, and then had to shift back into finding something more permanent because I was not even on contract at the time, I don't think. And that's how I came to this job because it was I felt something that really matched the way I approached theater. So I started working, and that was an even bigger challenge because, as I said before, it was very difficult to go from being out reporting, acting, suddenly being in an office. And what do you do with it, and how do you deal with it? But yeah, it was a great challenge, but I think I ended up having a loads of fun.
And can I ask, and I'm assuming it has, but I just want to check. So now, if there's an actress who's employed by the state for the theatre, if she falls pregnant,
Oh no,
she
this
would.
has changed.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yes. Oh yes.
Just want to check. There's
Yes.
lots of waves out there at the moment,
Actually,
so.
what have well, a lot of things change. We also don't have permanent staff anymore in actors.
Okay.
It's on contract. But other than that, it has changed after me. I think after me it happened two more times, and this finally was I think it was discussed all the way to the House of Parliament because it just couldn't go on. But yeah, those were different times. Different times.
But not that long ago.
Yeah. Well, my son is 23, so it was a long time ago. But at the same time, it was totally awful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, what do you love about being a theatre development officer? Because I can tell you love it. You smile every time you talk.
Look at us. We met here in Prague Quadrennial with all these amazing artists around us. How can I not be smiling, and how can I not be loving this job? I love it because it gives me the opportunity to meet people, to interact with people, and what's even better, it gives me the opportunity to facilitate others to do that. So I can share that. It's not something I do, it's something I can do for people. I also enjoy the fact that this organization, as all organizations, have issues, but in my position, there's nowhere to go. So I cannot go further up and I cannot go further down. But I've been blessed to be one of the people considered to be like in the leadership of this organization. And so I have a voice, and I can influence things to an extent. Even though I feel women have not had their fair share in the leadership of the organization, and perhaps one would say if I were a man, I wouldn't be here, I would be somewhere else. But I think lately we've had, for example, we now have a board of directors which I think has one, there's only two men there and seven women. I mean, this like is like a first. So we see things changing slowly, gradually, but they are changing. But I'm not one to see gender as the deciding factor. So I'm not saying that, because we have women, things are going to be better. No, we are blessed to have skilled women and women with knowledge in place.
So, how do you fuel your creativity? What do you do? Where do you go? I mean, you're around creativity all the time.
Time is just not enough because I try to watch as many performances as I can, not because I have to, but because I really want to see if we're subsidizing something. I don't feel it's just signing forms and giving out money. I want to be able to see and how they develop and how groups evolve and what happens. And so a lot of my time will go to theaters. I will go to I love art, so I will try to catch exhibits and music, and my daughter has renewed my commitment in time, I mean, to classical music. So I tried to do that. But I think a lot of my free time before now goes into the art program, because researching it and deciding what we're going to do with our team, which happens to all be women, I must tell you, is something I really enjoy. So we might not end up hosting a topic at the end, but the whole process behind it, discussing about it, researching it, trying to find out what it is, where it comes from, what could be discussed around it, is amazing.
What advice would you give to someone considering a career in arts development?
I think someone starting should always have a broader outlook and look at policy. I think if we understand the way policy is made and why, then things will fall into place better for anything else dealing with art development. If we start dealing with just the bits and pieces of art development without having in mind the way of thinking behind policy formation, it's always going to be short of something. For kids starting now, I would also say just filling your bag of tricks with as many things as you can. If it's acting, if it's singing, if it's dancing that you will never do, still, it will be useful. Because if you want to work in arts, you have to understand arts people first.
Okay, great. And so what have you got coming up? So we're in Prague at the moment. What's on the horizon for you in the next few weeks and months?
We have started the process of re-evaluating the subsidy program. And so we are probably meeting the theatres to discuss their ideas and what they feel, and switching into a totally different mode and trying to look at the subsidy plans and all that type of how to try to have terms and conditions that become motives for theatres to become better and better develop theatre, because that's the issue. But always keeping in mind that we need to create a safe and good environment for artists to do theatre in. If they can't make theatre in a way that you know, is not killing them and drowning them, then all the rest is just unnecessary talk.
I've so loved meeting you and coming to see the exhibition or the piece of work, Status Quo. I'm wondering, before you leave, something I always ask everyone is there a career in the creative industries you know little about and you'd like to know more about, and then potentially I could find someone to come on and talk to them about that role, and also another woman that you would recommend to come on Greater Than 11%?
We are here in an amazing place with so many great women dealing in arts. One woman that I really admire and I really, I think you would probably enjoy meeting is Sotya Lotker. Sotya Lotker is, she's here in Prague, and she was the previous director of PQ. She teaches, she directs, she's a dramaturg, she's a visionary. And I think you would really enjoy meeting her. And of course, needless to say, the director of PQ now, who is Marketa Fandova, also an amazing woman. And the list could go on and on here. Abby Cohen, she's a curator for Brazil. So an area in the arts that I would like to listen more about. I think, and this is going to sound strange perhaps to you, but I would like to know more about what you do. People who do podcasts need to have amazing skills, and it's all hidden there. I would really be interested in listening to someone talk about that.
Okay. We actually do have a podcaster coming up.
So. Excellent.
Perfect. Marina, thank you so much for your time today. I just so love talking to you.
Thank you. It was amazing. Cool. And I hope to see you soon.
Yeah. Hopefully in Cyprus.
Hopefully.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, please write a review and rate, as that helps other people find Greater Than 11%. Also, stay subscribed to keep up to date on the weekly releases. This podcast is made possible by the support of Hub, an insight-led content agency based in London. A huge thank you to the producers, Pat Murray and James Haverson, and to our editors, Daniel Clark and Laura Francis, and to Maria Continenza for designing the beautiful artwork.